So before we kick this off to questions, just want to say that, you know, Dan and I have been working very hard the last 3 months together along with our respective staffs, Scott Pioli, Lionel Vitale, the coordinators, Steve Sabo, and we've been, if we haven't been traveling all over the country looking at players, we've been in offices looking at unbelievable amounts of video together and talking about scheme together. So it's been a great learning experience to grow together in this whole process. And Dan, I don't know if you have want anything.
Yeah, just from the same for me. I was, you know, when I first got here, wanted to make sure I could connect with a guy, you know, from putting the whole thing together. And so for Thomas and I to have this partnership going into it, it's been everything I'd hoped it would be. And so we're fired up to get rolling here, not only with the team starting practice here this week coming up, but then rolling right into the draft.
Very good.
Thomas, could you talk about the report that said the Falcons are interested in Adrian Peterson, or was that a legitimate report or just some business agent side of things?
I mean, I believe that anytime you're dealing with the draft and you're dealing with negotiations, there's going to be discussion about it. And, you know, our focus has been on this year's draft class, not on free agents at this point. So we're ready to move on from that discussion.
What being at the eighth spot, you know, how do you all approach that, being in the top 10 again? And you know, you hear talk about trading up, trading back. You have to be, I guess, flexible at that spot.
Yeah, and Dan and I have talked a lot about being at, you know, in the top 10. You don't get a chance to be there that often. You hopefully are not there that often and don't want to be there in the future a whole bunch. The idea of being there in the top 10 at 8 gives us an opportunity to move up and back. There's a lot of discussion already about movement both ways with a lot of our peers in the league. It'll be interesting to see how that all works out. And a lot of it, I believe, has to do with what goes, you know, down the top three picks. And I think that's going to set the tone for, honestly, how much movement there is into the top 10 or even into the top 5.
Thomas, on the free agent situation that, you know, you've just addressed, can that all change after the draft when you see what you got?
Well, I think that's the way that we will approach it. We've approached it in the past that way. And again, you know, Q and I have talked a lot about it. We always want to keep our options open, and there may be opportunities within our discussions for the draft and the potential people we're bringing in. Dealing with teams, there may be an opportunity to talk about trades within, you know, within that forum as far as what we may deal with, as far as the draft picks, as far as the teams we're dealing with, talking about draft picks, as well as some of the players. That always happens. So we're always we always have an open mind as far as how we're going to approach that.
It's been awesome, you know, the fact that we got a chance to visit, you know, more prospects, you know, in a bigger area. So connecting with those guys all over has been great. For me, probably the biggest, you know, challenge was, you know, working with Thomas maybe on some of the offensive, you know, skill players and receivers and quarterbacks and running backs. So I tried to, you know, gain as much and learn as much this offseason as I could. So that part's, it's been awesome. We've gone against these guys for years, and now to get a chance to also evaluate them in a different light as the head coach, it's been great. I've had an absolutely awesome process going through this from the combine through the workouts and now leading up to it. So I can't wait, you know, to see which guys we could potentially add to our team and see how uniquely qualified they are to fit in a specific role. So that's been the one part for me. It's always been, if we had this player on our team, this is how we'd play him. And now getting a chance to move that from the defensive side to the offensive side and clearly, you know, trying to provide Thomas with a vision of how we would utilize that player on our team, that's been probably the thing I've enjoyed the most.
Guys, it's been no secret that you guys have been looking at the edge rushers in this year's draft class. A story came out yesterday about Shane Ray. Is he a kid that you think will be ready to play in week one of an NFL season with his injury?
We are in the process of, you know, looking at all of the players that we have on our board, you know, of interest, and we deal with not only our own medical people, but, you know, the medical people at the respective schools. And, you know, in our opinion right now, a guy like Shane and a guy like other people who have issues like that, it's our belief that they will be ready to play at the beginning of the season. And that'll, you know, obviously that has something to do with, you know, where a player like that ends up on your board. That it is a concern when you're talking about injuries, but if you're talking about certain injuries and you deal with your medical people to try to discern whether it's a legitimate concern where they may not be back until the middle of the season or the beginning of the season, that's what we're basing our approach on as far as how high we might draft someone at times.
If you don't mind me asking, how did he work out for you guys? Did he look okay?
Yeah, I thought he looked terrific. And so that was one of the things, if you followed us at all on social media this spring, there's been some trips that we've had, and it was just a way for us to connect with the fans and with the media to leave some breadcrumbs about maybe where we've been. And we had some great workouts this spring. It always comes back to the tape, you know, honestly. So I think almost spring workouts have become like another sport. And it always comes back to the tape. And a lot of those guys did a terrific job for us this spring, both in the interviews and the workouts. And it was one I really enjoyed, you know, getting a chance to visit with all these guys.
Thomas, with the picks that we had to give up for Julio, does that impact this draft in any way?
Bo, no, I don't believe so. I think we're so beyond that idea. I mean, I think it's something that we're always very aware of as far as where depth is and where depth may be. And with Julio, we believe we've acquired the person that we want in that position. We're really happy with that. And we have 8 picks this year, and that's where our focus is. It's not about what's happened in the past. I think you can respect that.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, you know, the ramifications, however it affected you in subsequent drafts. Mm-hmm. Does that impact you now as far as moving up might be concerned?
No, it doesn't. And quite honestly, we've always talked about this. Given that move, we're always one of the first teams that teams call when they're looking to deal. And personally, I like that. I think it's good. So there never will be potentially missed opportunities for us. So I always look for the positive side of it all. So it is not affecting us, to answer your question, Bo. Yeah, thanks.
Coming from Seattle, going into your first draft as head coach, how would you describe the process as you envision it? More of a blending, similar or unique as far as, you know, what you expect in the draft?
Well, we've had a lot of discussion about that and just the way that Thomas and I want to do it. So not really, you know, regarding where, you know, we've done it before, but how we want to do it now together. As it goes through this process, my sole job is to try and help Thomas understand how we would feature some of the guys as we play them. And so that part, we always had discussion of, it's really clear how we'd use this player, and that's probably what I've, you know, tried to establish, you know, and help the most in my role.
Every draft will have guys that have issues. Some will hear about publicly, some will hear about who you guys are. Have you been on the same page when it comes to what's acceptable and what's not, how a guy is still viable if he does have things from his college days?
And Chris, you're talking about character issues?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been definitely on the same page. I know there's been a lot of discussion about the Falcon filter and how it may change now that, you know, Dan and I are pairing together and you know, we're always going to be very mindful of the type of people we bring in here that fit into the, not only the scheme, but, you know, the personality and the team type players and the passion and the positivity to approach. And I can let Dan talk a lot about that. I believe in that. He believes in that. And I think that's a very important part of this team growing together into the future, Chris.
Yeah, for us to be really good, this team has to be tight, and those guys have to connect. So I think from, you know, off-the-field problems, have they affected a player from performing on the field? And it's such a wide topic, you know, off-the-field concerns where some people, you know, some clubs may view it differently, and I think everybody has their own philosophy on that. But for us, you know, how tight and, you know, close can this team get, and bringing great teammates into our locker room is really important to me.
Thomas, how much does a situation like Josh Gordon and what happened, you know, with him and the Browns, how much does that affect you all's thinking when it comes to some of those guys with the off-the-field issues? I mean, it's a guy who I can't remember if they've spent a second-round pick in the supplemental on him or not, but here's a guy who's going to end up, I think, missing 26 out of 32 games in a 2-year period? And it's something that, you know, is related to an off-field issue that began before he was drafted. So how do you all, how does that affect your thinking when you deal with the same type of character issues?
There's no question it affects a lot when you're stepping back and you're looking at creating a team and putting a team together as co-team builders, and we start thinking about the opportunity to have very good football players, But the repercussions of having someone who has issues that may miss 10 games, may miss 5 games even, and that may tug at the fabric of the football team is a legit concern for us, because the only way that we believe that we're going to win not only is with the talent, but is with the characteristic and the energy and everything that Dan believes in. We have to make sure that those guys are in. Those guys are teammates. Those guys believe that what they do off the field will affect their teammates and this team going forward. And that's a huge thing for us. It'll never be cast to the side thinking all we're looking for is talent. I've said time and again, you can go into a draft and be rated very well in the draft if you're not thinking about character. You know, any of the prognosticators out there that are grading drafts, that are looking at drafts, that aren't thinking about making sure that the character issues are not considered, I think you can pull off a very talented draft that way.
Understanding, guys, that this is a continuous process and none of the moves throughout the entire offseason are made in a vacuum, how do the moves and the signings that you guys had prior to the draft affect your draft board and the process that you're going through?
I think, you know, starting off into the free agency, we wanted to add not only one great teammates, but guys who could, contribute in lots of different roles. So it's much like the draft, where the guys that we brought in, we certainly had a vision for how these guys would play on our team. And so as they're into now, there's certainly some pieces in. And then as we get through the draft part of it, okay, how would these guys fit into this role? Not only would they compete with a guy that we brought in at the same position or a different position. So I think they're related, but not, well, we did this one so we could draft this pick, if that makes sense.
Well, in the same sense, I mean, you brought in a lot of linebackers between Durant and Bryce Schofield. Right. Does that change where a linebacker fits on your board as far as a first-round pick is concerned?
Not necessarily for, you know, where we fit. And it was just a position that we thought we wanted to really address hard, both in the free agency and in the draft. So I think it was part of our mindset going forward that there was a number of spots that we really wanted to attack.
Coach Quinn, a lot of the players that are here in recent years have said your system's a lot more simple, more effort-based. Does that give you more freedom to possibly draft the best available player instead of a system guy kind of field the defense around them?
I don't know if it's, the best available player. We're still looking for the traits of how fast a guy can play and the explosion. So when Thomas and I got together to talk, you know, from a scheme standpoint, both offensively and defensively, you know, we were looking for certain traits that make up, you know, a guy in terms of the speed, the effort, the attitude that a guy can play with. So I don't know. That'd be a good question maybe for Thomas to answer. Is there a broader range of guys based on how we're going to play? I just know that's the, you know, there's a pretty big pool that we like of guys, but it might be a better question for T to answer in terms of, you know, how many of the scheme.
And I think, you know, to Dan's point, Dan and his staff are acutely aware of the type of scheme they want and the type of players they want within that scheme. And I think, as, again, from a personnel standpoint, that is vital to put together the right team and to bring in the right players that, you know, have a chance to make this football team. There are, you know, at all positions out there, you're always going to read about where the strengths are within the draft. And the great thing about Dan's scheme in my mind is, and we've seen it in Seattle, they were able to play with a lot of players. You didn't just have to go after a guy in the first and second round. They were great about making sure that they looked at all the talent and took all the positives of the players that they had acquired and made sure that they accentuated the positives and played them where they needed to play to, you know, be the best that they could be. And, again, Dan can comment on that. Yeah. That's something that I've always been very intrigued about.
Yeah, as far as the players go, when we're evaluating them, oftentimes we're looking to see, you know, what the strengths of a player, what he can do, as not, you know, what he can't do. And then I think it kind of frees you to look at a player in a different light to say, these are all the unique stuff that a player has, and then how can we best feature him on our team? And so that's what I'm going to try to do, you know, and that's what I, you know, best help to, you know, say to Thomas, with this player, this is how we'd play him and this is how we'd feature him.
Guys, it seems like, go ahead.
When you do those evaluations, when you're looking at talent that surrounds a specific guy or the level of talent that he's playing against, how easy or difficult is it now to try to come up with some of the things that a guy can really do, or how much is he helped by his teammates or the level of competition he's going against? You try to evaluate against conferences, big school, small school.
Yeah, I think that's okay in terms of the level of competition. It's really more about the traits, you know. If you, do you feel the speed at which a player is playing at? Do you feel, you know, the strength? Do you feel the strain that the guy is going for? So the level of competition is a factor, but not the overriding one to say, well, just because he played in this conference or this school, he automatically has all the things we're looking for. So when we go all the way through the process with the guys, it's more you know, how can we best feature the guy based on what he's doing on the film, regardless of who he's playing against.
Guys, it seems like the entire focus from our end of the draft has been pass rusher. How's wide receiver fit in the scheme of things in this draft?
Well, I think, you know, we're in a situation that we're very mindful of what our offensive, you know, firepower is. And we've, in the past, we've been very focused on that, as you all know. And we continue to think, and I'm a firm believer, and I know Dan is, that you have to keep the cupboards full and you have to make sure that you're ready to move forward when people do move on. And we're always going to be mindful of the key positions to make sure that we can provide a quarterback like Matt Ryan the opportunity to move the ball around the field, and that's something that's important for us.
Philosophically, are we going to change it all from, you know, coming up Matt in the aerial game? Are we going to look different?
I can probably, yeah, you know, that one just from really one of the things we're going to strive for is to have balance, you know, in our offense. The run game, you know, and the play action, you know, certainly is going to set up opportunities for us to take shots down the field. We're going to attack. We're going to be aggressive. But the balance is something that we're going to look for offensively. Having that run game, you know, kind of closes the circle of the toughness for our team. But having that balance and the keepers and the play action to go with it will just accentuate, you know, the way we're able to feature Matt in the throwing game too.
So, Dan, do you see any Marshawn Lynch types? I mean, since that's where you're coming from, do you see any Lynch types in this draft?
He'd be a tough guy to compare to, that's for sure. All the, you know, the style and the energy that he plays with. But there are some really good backs in this year's draft. And, you know, wouldn't be, you know, surprising to see some of them, you know, picked off the board early.
What did you learn most from the two regimes in Seattle? You were there when they picked Curry in 09, and then you got to be with John and Coach Carroll the second time around. What did you learn there that you were able to bring to help in this, prepare for your first draft as a head coach?
I think probably one of the main things I've learned, and maybe I learned it early on in my career, even way back at San Francisco, but maybe it got accentuated again during my time with Pete and John, is trying to find, you know, the qualities of what a player can do and how he would be featured on your team. I can remember, you know, vividly my first year at San Francisco and Coach Walsh talking to that degree, how would this player play on our team, and would he play on third down, would he be a short yardage fullback? And so maybe through the years I didn't always remember that message as loud as clear, and then when I got reconnected with the same philosophy with Pete, it hammered back home again.
Yeah, well. Playing off of what he was talking about with the running backs, what do you see in these big backs that are out there in the draft this year? I know a couple guys came in, kid from Indiana, whatever. Talk about those big backs that are in this draft class.
Go ahead on first.
Yeah, I'll speak to the personnel in the draft. I think it's a really interesting running back group across the, you know, across the entire draft. You have your, you know, your first and second round guys, or at least that sort of area, that talent pool. And then you have a really good group of guys that are in that third, fourth, and fifth round group. So I think those are going to be very, you know, they're going to be productive football players in this league for teams that are looking to not only feature a back, but run a system where you have two backs running with each other. And I think, again, that's attractive to a lot of teams in this league right now.
So you're definitely kind of looking for a guy that's much different than Devontae.
Not necessarily, and Q can talk about that.
Yeah, I think, like, all these running backs are so unique, you know. So it's like there's so many good players that come in different, you know, sizes. And I think it's that aggressiveness with and without the ball, you know, that there's sometimes that guy can line you up and I'm going to go try and run this guy over, and he's an effective player. But just as effective as the guy who can catch it and go make plays. So it's like for us, we're going to be a wide zone team. So we'd like guys that can make the cut and then play aggressive, you know, with the ball in their hand. So does that mean the guy's 230, 215, you know, it's a little different in that way. So we had talked, you know, back earlier about, you know, different styles of running backs. It's really one of the most fun positions to evaluate, in my opinion, because they're coming from different schemes. And then once you see that with, you know, the ball in their hand and that aggressive style comes out, that's the guys that, you know, I love to evaluate at running back. And then when you see them pass protect, that's what I was talking about, you know, the aggressiveness and the toughness with and without the ball. And that mindset, I love seeing those guys.
Is that the bottom line for us, aggressiveness as far as running back is concerned? Is that primary?
I think so. You know, and having the ability, you know, when you have the ball in your hands to make plays and break tackles, you know, like it's not always blocked up great. Right. And there's going to be a time when, you know, but does he create yards, you know, when they're not there? Mm-hmm. And I think as you look
You've
at really
with
he's certainly a terrific one. And but through the years, that's, you know, when you think about the great running backs, and we're probably all going through our mind right now, it's like, how does he make something happen when it wasn't there? And those kind of backs that are able to do that are always ones you're like, man, this guy's a player. And you love competing against those guys. And fortunately for us, we have a few on the roster ready, and we'd like to add a few more.
Thomas, your counterpart in Arizona, Steve Kime, was quoted as saying that if Hannibal Lecter ran a 4.3, he'd be characterized with an eating disorder as a way to kind of justify some off-the-field characters. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment of the way, you know, in general, GMs will try to evaluate talent and whatever goes on off the field as a viable pick?
Look, I mean, Steve's a fantastic he's a good friend of mine and a really good team builder. He's done a great job, and I think everyone expresses themselves in a different way. And and I think, I mean, we all look at so many different things that go into, you know, into that decision, right? I mean, it is a full package thing. What we're doing right now, we step back and we look at our draft board, and we start to, as we continue to massage our draft board and order everything, a lot comes up about all the other stuff. It's not just pure talent, as I was alluding to earlier. It's not just about that. It's about how they fit into Dan's scheme, Dan's approach. It's about all the other stuff that we're going to be dealing with, and hopefully not dealing with stuff that will take away from their time on the field. So there's a lot involved in it, and I'm a true believer in that. And again, it's not all about, I've said this time and again, it's not all about having angelic souls out there. We don't want that. We obviously want guys that are fiery and passionate and have that urge to either run angry like we're talking about or tackle angry or get up to the quarterback like Dan will coach the DNs to do or the rushers to do. That's what we're looking for. But we want to make sure that they have the idea of the team in mind in the very end, and that's very important.
Coach said that, you know, really all comes down to the tape and how they look on tape. At what point do you step back after all the measurables and everything that's gone into it and all the interviews and all the tape you've watched and just say, can he play? I mean, does that happen, or do you just get, you know, sometimes so wound up in it that a pick just evolves just because of all the measurables?
Yeah, there's no question about that. It really comes back to what Dan was saying. It comes back to how these guys perform on the field. Of course, you can't have a 5-2 running back or whatever. Right. There are certain requirements that we know are important. But the difference between a 1 and 2 tenths at times, depending on the type of player they are and how they play, there's no question that we look at that. But it's not always a deciding factor. And I think in the end it is about how these guys play football and how they're going to produce. There are guys in this year's draft that either are, you know, 1 or 2 inches shorter than we'd, you know, really truly like them to be, and yet they are some of the best football players out there. So that's up to us to make the decision whether we can play them, Dan can play them, and look at it. And that's what we said. I think that's what's great with Dan and his staff, stressing the positives. The old adage in scouting, you all have your old adages in media. Ours has always been, you have to find the positives. Don't stress the negatives. If you're always looking for the negatives, you won't have a good football team at all. So, and that's one of the things that I love that Dan brings to the table.
Thomas, the franchise has done well when you guys have had top 10 picks, Matt Ryan, Jake Matthews. How important is it to, with your first pick, being Coach Quinn's first year here, to hit and get a player that is going to be impactful for a long time?
I think it's very important. I think we like to refer to those players as, you know, there are pillar position players or pillar players within your organization. Some are a lot more expensive, whether it's in free agency, some in the draft, you have to go high. Dan can talk about this, and I know he has a strong feeling about it. Though they're still part of this football team, they're not what's going to make the difference, and we're not going to go out there and promote them and laud them publicly about how they're going to turn this football team around. Dan and his approach is what's going to turn this football team around with the talent that we're acquiring. Is it important that we acquire someone at the 8th overall pick or earlier? Yes, it's very important that guy is a legit contributor to this football team now.
How much is offensive line a priority in terms of building the depth in this draft?
I'll comment first, and then I'll throw it to Dan. I think, you know, we had a tough time last year with all the injuries. We have we feel we have a number of good football players that were injured last year that are well on their way to healing, and we think they're going to be a nice addition back to our team, or, you know, they're going to come back here and do what we expect them to do. moving forward, we definitely have some areas and challenges that we need to focus on.
And really, you know, and playing well at both sides of the line of scrimmage, and for us, you know, the way we're going to attack the ball defensively, the way we're going to take care of it offensively, those are, you know, core principles of how we're going to play. For us, adding the, you know, the wide zone scheme into, you know, our offensive line scheme, it's important to find guys that can move their feet and get running. Fortunately, there's some terrific players, you know, that are here, and we can't wait to see what they can do. A number of them are, you know, well on their way to, you know, being able to participate in some fashion this spring. And then there's also some guys that really fit in the draft that would add to the group. So as we're getting started, it's a terrific draft full of guys that will know how to feature and how to play them on our team. And I think that's one of the things I've been most fired up about this draft is when you see that, you know, player, you really have a sense of how he would play right away on your team. And I think oftentimes in the past, maybe when I haven't had that feeling of, okay, here's a player that we're just not sure how we're going to feature him, but he's really good. Maybe you didn't know how to pull him through to see how good he could become because you didn't even have the same vision of where he could go to, if that makes sense.
Two questions, guys. Last two.
I know you care mostly about what's in your building, not so much what's in somebody else's, but how much did you spend any time looking at the teams in the division and thinking about free agency that way, thinking about drafts that way with six division games?
Yeah, from my end, I didn't spend a lot of time, you know, evaluating the division, you know, in comparison with the draft. Certainly knowing the league and knowing, you know, how do we match up on certain players or receivers or, you know, different styles of players. I certainly knew the importance of that, but didn't have to necessarily evaluate them to know some of their strengths. So in that way, not a great deal, probably because I had some overall knowledge of playing the division recently.
Thomas, you spoke earlier about Shane Ray, and you said that he, like some other players with injury concerns, would be ready for the start of the season. That made me think of Todd Gurley. Do you see Todd Gurley as someone who will be ready to start the season?
Again, I'm not a physician. I'm led to believe that, you know, that he's going to be ready to go at some time during the early parts. And again, he's another guy that's going to have this draft. He's going to have an interesting sort of influence on this draft, given his talent, you know, along with his, you know, the concerns for, you know, if he will in fact be back early or not.
How do y'all view him as a player?
Todd Gurley.
Man, is he tough. You know, just, you know, from watching his, you know, watching him, you know, over the last 3 years and the attitude and the style that he plays with. He's one of those guys when, you know, for us the NFL, turning on the CBS in the Saturday afternoon when you're at a hotel and seeing guys compete and battle, there's certain guys that jump off to you on tape, and he's certainly been one for me over the last few years.
And he runs with all that passion and all that anger and urgency that right, you know, that teams are looking for. That's what people are looking for these days.
Leonard Williams, he spoke highly of you, you know, when he met with you and everything, because he said you recruited him out of high school.
Right.
How many guys during the trail did you actually come across that you said, hey, I recruited these guys, I sat in these guys' homes?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. I think, I bet it's close to maybe a half dozen or so, you know, through the process that, you know, guys I knew something about and or had a, you know, history with. And so it's really cool for me to see some of these guys come through and turning into the players that maybe you envisioned them to be. And so for me, that was, you know, one of those moments you're like, man, he's doing just what I thought he would do. So that's cool to see.
And Leonard's one of those guys.
Yeah, for sure he is. And just for him to, you know, turn into the player that you thought he was going to be, you know, you're really fired up for those guys to say, all right, man, keep doing your thing.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.